Well, hello again. I'm just so glad to welcome you to these studies as we continue our journey into the greatest revival the world has ever seen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this series of teaching. I'm certainly learning things that I never knew before, and I trust that's the same with many of you. Many of you might be going, come on, Gary, catch up. I don't know. I'm trying. We're praying over here. We're studying over here. We're trying, okay? Anyway, today's lesson is just Recoding the Brain, Part 5, and the subtitle is Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. And there's a message that I have done over the years where I teach strictly out of the book of Matthew, where I'm talking about how Jesus healed them all. And I took 7 different meetings. You know, some of them were big, some of them not as big, but 7 meetings. I did them all out of the book of Matthew so that we know we're not duplicating a meeting like, you know, Mark would write about the same meeting or Luke or John. But I stayed in the book of Matthew, so I know we're talking at least 7 different times. And some of these says great multitudes were there. And in all 7 of them, it either says specifically Jesus healed them all, or Jesus healed them, which would mean them who? Well, them that were sick, you know, them. All that they brought, you know. So, when I teach that message just to let people know that Jesus did heal them all, that usually takes up the whole hour. Well, we're not going to do that today. But we are going to look at all 7 of those. Now, I really recommend, if you have not heard about this, these 7 meetings, that you follow along in your Bible, maybe get something to write on, take some notes. Not necessarily just so you'll remember it, but you're going to need to use this to help convince other people that need healing that Jesus heals them all and he doesn't change. But we're really talking about recoding the brain. And so I was praying and meditating like we're supposed to do, and he gave me a scenario that I had never thought of before. Now, hopefully you've been listening to the previous, at least the previous 4 messages we've already done about recoding the brain. Let me just, for today's lesson, just in case, let me remind you of just a couple of things. Number 1, Jesus had the same kind of gray matter in his mind, in his physical head, that you have in your physical head, like I have in my physical head. Jesus was born spiritually alive. He's the first, the only begotten, in other words, born of woman, the only begotten Son of God. He's the only one since the fall of Adam that was conceived and born spiritually alive. He'll always have that distinction. He is the only begotten of woman, son of God. Now, he's not the only one. He's not the only thing, the only Son of God today. The Bible says now we are called the sons of God. And when you get born again, the Bible says Jesus now is the firstborn of many brethren. Hello, brethren. So anyway, that's a review from many, many years ago. So, but his spirit came from God, just like when you got born again, your spirit is from God. But his body, including all of his internal organs, including the gray matter, 3.5-pound brain that he has, his body came from Mary. And you can trace Mary's body all the way back to the fall of Adam. So Jesus, like it says in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus really is the author and the finisher of our faith. We know he's God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But in Philippians, Paul wrote to them and said, but he laid aside, he made himself of no reputation. Only God could do this. But when Jesus allowed himself to become the second member of the Godhead, God the Son, when he allowed himself to become a man, on purpose, he basically set aside all of his privileges and power, really, as God. See, and that's so important because for years, religion told us, well, only Jesus can do that because he's God. Yet Jesus said, the same things I do, I intend for you to do. You're going to do them too. Well, if he did them as God, that there's no way. I hope you know you're not God. I'm not either. But Jesus didn't do it as God. Jesus because Hebrews 12:2, he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the prototype, a man born of God, just like you, with a 3.5-pound brain, just like yours, wearing a fallen flesh, just like you have, tempted in all points, just like we are, yet he was without sin. How did he do it? By the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He said, it's not me even doing the works. It's the Father in me. He's doing the works. Well, now it's Christ in us, and he's doing the works through us. I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, I was just meditating and praying really about all of the lessons that's been taught up so far, and the Holy Spirit took me back to those, in my remembrance, to those seven meetings. Here, we'll just start. Now, I've got some notes. We're going to have to stick with it pretty close, or we'll be here for a long time and not really get said what he wants said. So imagine with me. You know, I remember when Cole, my grandson, was about 5 years old, maybe six. We were out playing in the backyard doing something or other, and we're taking a breather, sitting there on a little bench in the backyard. And he says, Papa, can you see the lion that's up in that tree? And I'm looking, there's no lion there. And I'm going, no, Cole, I don't see a lion. And he just looked at me like, put his little hand on my face and says, Papa, can you pretend? Oh, he was inviting me into his world, in his imagination, you know. Oh, by golly, there is a lion in that tree. I see him. Well, God gave us all the power to imagine, and we're going to get to imagination in the next, we'll get there next week, 2 weeks, I don't know, soon. But it's really, really important about the power of the imagination that God gave us. See, he didn't just give Abraham a promise. He gave him a word. What I mean by word only, he gave him a vision. Look at the stars. Look at the grains of sand in this desert. Look at the dust of the earth. Your children, your seed is going to number like that. So he gave them something to use their imagination on. Their faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, that image is their hope, and faith is the substance until you have the real substance, you know. And once you have it in your hand, that's not faith anymore. You got it now. Okay, I'm going too much here. But anyhow, the Holy Spirit started off with me. He just said, imagine that you were alive during the time of Jesus, when he was physically on planet Earth, when he was holding his own meetings. I call those Jesus meetings, which I'm looking forward to having those again, because he intends to have them again on planet Earth, but he's going to have his meetings through us. So the Holy Spirit was encouraging me to use my imagination here, and he says, now, imagine you were alive during that time when Jesus, during that 3.5 years, when he was physically on the earth, and you decided to go to every meeting that Jesus held. And well, that means you would go to all of the meetings listed in the book of Matthew. Now, I'm staying in this single book again so that you'll know I'm not, you know, duplicating meetings here. We're talking seven different times on these seven meetings. So if you got, hope you've had time now to get your paper and pencil, here we go. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Now, you're attending this meeting. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all, I love this, they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers, that means all kinds of diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, I mean, and, I love these four words, and he healed them. Them who? Them that had palsies, them that were lunatic, them that were possessed with devils, those that had torments, those that had diseases, and it says all sick people. Well, if he healed them, he healed them all, because they brought all the sick people in that whole area to him. Now you're in that meeting. You're not born again. You can't be born again till after the resurrection, after Jesus has been glorified. So you're an unregenerate person, someone who's not born again. You've got the spirit of the world in you, what Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians that we studied last week or week before. And you got a 3.5-pound brain. Now remember last week's lesson, or you know, where we talked about doubting Thomas? I don't know why we pick on him, because in that lesson we learned all of the apostles doubted. They didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead when Mary Magdalene told them. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't believe you. Oh, well, here, what about these other women? We saw him, and in one place it says they bowed down and worshiped and touched his feet. We don't believe you either. Their words were like idle tales, it says. We don't believe you. We will believe it when we see it. See, that's how the 3.5-pound brain is designed to function. It's given to you to navigate in this world. Okay. But so they didn't believe Mary Magdalene. They didn't believe the other women that came. Then there was those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know it was Jesus at first, but eventually they did. Well, they come back and they tell the apostles, he's risen. We broke bread with him. He talked with us. He walked with us. We don't believe you. This is the 3.5-pound brain. We'll believe it when we see it. That's how that thing functions. And I hate to tell you this, darling, dear heart, men and women, dear heart. I hate to tell you this. You still got that 3.5-pound brain. It did not get saved. Now, it's going to bow the knee. It's going to become renewed. It's going to bow the knee to the superior knowledge of your spiritual mind. We talked about that. We're going to talk more about that. But I just want you to remember now, they had to deal with a 3.5-pound brain because they weren't born again. Well, this guy, you know, we're pretending now, we're imagining that we're going to every meeting mentioned here in Matthew chapter, in the Gospel of Matthew. So we looked at this one, and we're sitting there with our 3.5-pound brain. I'll believe it when I see it. What? What? He healed that person. They brought him. He couldn't even walk. He had the palsy. And he's walking now. Well, that's one. What about the next one? He healed that one too. And you sit there and you watch. Those healed of palsy, lunatic people, those that were possessed with devils, those that had torments, God only knows what all that was, and all the sick people that they brought, and one by one, your gray matter is registering. I believe it when I see it. Well, you're seeing it. You're there. And it didn't stop. God only knows how long those prayer lines were. It didn't stop until he healed them, which means he healed them all. Well, now what? We're all familiar with that 3.5-pound gray matter. It would be going something like this. You're headed back home after the meeting. I never saw anything like that before, but I saw it with my own eyes. I mean, he healed them all, and it didn't matter if it was a physical disease. It didn't matter if it was a devil. It didn't matter if they were crazy, lunatic. Even those with palsy that couldn't even walk. I saw it with my own eyes. Now, what's happening right there? Neural pathways that did not exist before are being created in your gray matter because you saw it with your own eyes. You saw it with your own eyes. But we all know how that thing works, don't we? It's going, well, he did it at that meeting. Yeah, I have to admit, because I was there and I watched. He healed them all, but that was just one meeting. And I'm going to go to the next one. Well, let's go to the next one. Go over to Matthew chapter 8, and let's look at verses 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many. Now, when it says many, it doesn't mean three. Many who were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and notice, and healed, don't you love that next word, all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You're watching again. And it didn't matter again if it was a devil, if they were possessed with devils, or they were just sick by some natural means. He cast out every devil. You're watching. You're there. I believe it when I see it. Blink, blink. Well, you're seeing it. Your physical eyes are registering one by one by one. That one got delivered. That next one got delivered. Here's all kinds of sickness. That one has cancer. That one has lupus. That one has what, you know, they may have had different words in, but his diseases are the same. You know, that one has the palsy. This one's paralyzed. And it did not matter. It says he healed all. Doesn't it say it? He healed all that were sick, and he cast out devils. Now, we're all familiar with that gray matter, aren't we? You're walking home. I saw it with my own eyes. Those neural pathways, they're becoming thicker now. Or maybe they produce more branches. I'm not a scientist to know exactly all. You know, if we could watch it, and they can map your brain now and watch these neural pathways as they grow and create new branches and as they strengthen. But for today's lesson, let's just say that neural pathway that was created at the first meeting, that rascal's stronger now. You've seen it twice, but we all know how this works, don't we? What about the next meeting? I know I've seen it with my own eyes twice, but nobody's ever heard of this. Or somebody has the power of God to heal everybody who's sick. No, it's never been seen like this. I'm going to go to the next meeting. Well, let's go. Let's go to the next one. In fact, we're going to go to several now, because you understand what's going on. Matthew 12:15. Here you go. You're in attendance. You're there. Say, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. Now notice, I love this one. Great multitudes followed him. Now, that same expression would be like, it's used like when he fed the 5,000, when he fed multitude. And when it says 4,000 or 5,000, whatever, you got to remember, that's just the men. Not counting the women, not counting the children. How big were some of these meetings? Maybe 10,000, maybe 15,000? Picture that. Well, how many sick people? Well, if you'd have been to any of those other meetings, a lot, because you'd be bringing every sick relative and friend that you had. No wonder his fame grew, because they all saw this with their own eyes. So you're at the third meeting. Great multitudes were at Matthew 12:15. Great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. There it goes again. Oh, the best is yet to come. We're about to see Jesus meetings on the earth again. My goodness. All right, let's go to the next meeting. Well, that's over in Matthew 14:14. And Jesus, okay, give you just a second. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. Here we are again. We're not talking 10. We're not talking 12. We're talking thousands. And he was moved with compassion toward them. And he still is moved with compassion toward us. And he healed their sick. Well, if he healed their sick, didn't he heal all of them if they were sick? Didn't they get healed? And he healed their sick. If words mean anything, if they were there and they were sick, he healed them. How many? All of them. You've seen it now 1, 2, 3, 4 times in a row. We know how this thing works. I know I've seen it 4 times. I've seen it with my own eyes. What's happening? Those neural pathways that started being created when you saw it the first time, now you've seen it the second time. You've seen it again, the power of repetition. You saw it the second time. You saw it the third time. You saw it the fourth time. Just like you learned your ABCs, not by hearing them once, A, B, C, D, E. That little singing that jingle once. No, it had to be, you had to repeat it. And you had to do it and sing it again and say it again and sing it again. How about mathematics? Oh, yeah. You just heard your multiplications one time and knew them all, right? No. Over and over and over again. I remember, again, my typing teacher, Mr. Browning, way back in high school. Man, he would drill us. We'd type, type, type. No, faster. Okay, now do it without mistakes. And Sue and I both can still type like the wind. I'm telling you, it's amazing. But power of repetition. Well, this man is using, in our imagining here, this is you. You're live back then. Now you've been to 4 meetings, 4 already, where Jesus healed them all. See? All right, let's go. Yeah, but that's 4 times. But surely it can't be every time. Surely it can't mean surely this thing. You know how it is. Okay, Matthew 15. Let's go to the next meeting. This is meeting number 5. Matthew 15, verses 30 through 31. Here we go again. And great multitudes. Now again, if you can imagine with me, see the lion in the tree. Great multitudes. I want you to see wherever Jesus, he's probably up on a hillside where they can see him. But down across that valley, maybe thousands. Like when he fed them with the bread, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Thousands. And his fame has spread abroad. Who are they bringing with them? Man, the sick, the blind, the deaf, the lame, those that can't walk, those that had devils, lunatic, every kind of thing. His fame has spread abroad now. Now, great, and this is meeting number 5. Let me get it right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep. Great multitudes came unto them, having with them those that were lame, can't walk, blind, can't see, dumb, can't speak. I love this one. I love all of them. But maimed, what does that mean? I looked it up one time just to make sure that it meant what I thought. You're missing something, either by birth or by an accident of some kind or some disease and they had to cut something off. You're missing a part, a hand, an arm, a leg. You're an amputee of some kind. The maimed and many others, that everything you can imagine, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Them who? Everyone that they brought. Otherwise, there'd be an exception. And he healed them in so much that the multitude wondered. I bet they did. You're in the crowd too. Blink, blink. When they saw, oh, it's so important. See, this is how the natural brain works. I will believe it when I see it. Even the apostles, I don't believe you, Mary Magdalene. I don't believe you other women that saw him. I don't believe you two guys who came from Emmaus. I believe it when I see it, you know. And so the 11, you know, they were gathered together, but Thomas wasn't there that day. They saw him with their own eyes, neural pathways. We believe. They're telling Thomas. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. So Thomas is going, I didn't believe Mary Magdalene. I didn't believe those other women. I didn't believe the guys that came from Emmaus, and I don't believe you guys either. Don't we know that's how this works? But when he saw it, he believed. And Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you have seen. But blessed, and in the Greek, we've already looked this up, in the Greek it says, you believe, you're blessed because you saw. More blessed are those who believe, having not seen. We went in great detail on that last week. All right, now we've been to 5 meetings where Jesus healed them all. I try to picture, you know, walking home from those meetings. It happened again. I saw it with my own eyes. The blind saw, the dumb spoke, the lame that walked. I watched the maimed be made whole. They came missing something, but they didn't leave missing something. We all watched as that missing hand grew back out. We all watched while that missing leg grew back out. We are in for something. We're in for a ride. We're going to see things that's not been seen ever. And this has already been seen. And he said, we're going to be seeing things that's never been seen before. Glory to God. He's about to have a running fit. I got to stay here, Lord, and do the lesson. Okay. Okay. That was meeting number 5. Okay. Surely, you know how this is. I've got to reason this away somehow. This cannot be the truth that he heals everybody that comes every time. No exceptions. First time, like we say, first time, every time, no exceptions. He heals them all. No. I got to go to another meeting. We already been to 5. I know. I got to go to another one. You know how, you know. All right. It's like, the Lord has delivered us 10,000 times. Yeah, but will he deliver you the next time? Okay, Matthew 19. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. This is all so good. Now you're going to meeting number 6. You've already been to 5. Now you're going to meeting number 6. Matthew 19, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. Now, here we go again. And great multitudes followed him. This is a different meeting. It's not the same meeting as before. Great multitudes followed him. Here we go again. And he healed them there. Healed them who? The sick. All that they brought, he healed them there. At that meeting, there, at that time. All right. Going home again. That's 6 meetings. I've been to 6 meetings. Boy, these last ones were big ones. They had great multitudes there. And I sat and watched. The blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf heard, the maimed were made whole. Oh, we watched while the hand grew back out, or the leg, or where the foot, whatever it was. You'd be talking. I saw it with my own. What about those neural pathways now? You've been to 6 meetings. And in 6 meetings, you saw there wasn't a single person that came sick that didn't go home healed. There wasn't a blind person that came that didn't leave seeing. There wasn't a deaf person that came that didn't leave hearing. There wasn't an amputee that came that needed that wheelchair going home. Jesus meeting. But you know how this thing is. Yeah, but what about meeting number 7? But I'm telling you, those neural pathways are getting deeper, stronger, thicker, more branchy. I'm not an expert in that field, but I know it's getting stronger. It's getting stronger all the time. It's like I use the analogy of my granddaughter learning to drive the car, and at first everything's clunky and awkward and everything, you know, but she's creating neural pathways. It's like, okay, this is the steering wheel, that's the gas, that's the brake. Oh, here's the left turn, right and left turn signal. Oh, here's the wipers. You know, it's nighttime, I got to turn the lights on. And all, everything, and, you know, too much gas, too much brake. There's neural pathways. She read the book. There's already some neural pathways there. But now as she's doing it, those neural pathways get stronger and stronger. And you know how it could be, eventually, all of that becomes one with you. I don't really recommend this, but you all know it's true. You'd be driving that car, talking with your friends, have the radio on, maybe singing along, and at the same time eating a hot dog. I don't recommend that, but I'm just saying, it becomes you. You, that you and that, how to drive that car just becomes one. And you don't need, the pathways are you. Okay? That's what's happening here. And if we'd have lived during that time and had the opportunity to go to all these meetings, we'd believe it because we saw it. And that's how this thing works. All right, we'll finish up here with number 7. Yeah, but well, he delivered them. I've been to 6 meetings. He healed them all. He cast out all the devils. I even saw missing limbs grow back. I saw that. I've seen it 6 times. What about number 7? I tell this all the time, but I've been at this so long. I mean, hey, we all are, no, these neural pathways don't start off fully formed. I remember when we first stepped out to believe God and we had no money. This is like I say, the back in those days is when money was staying away in great abundance, you know. And man, I mean, he said he'd take care of us. He said he'd speak to the hearts of people. Is any money coming in? No. But I know what he said. Is any, go look in the mailbox again, maybe. He said he would take care of us. He said he'd speak to the hearts of the people. Our job's to give everything away free. I mean, these arguments went on all the time. But see, it's been we became incorporated as a full-time ministry in 1996. And this is the year, we're almost to 2005. In a week, it'll be 2005. And he has done exactly what he said all these years. At this point now, because still there's opportunity, you know, the devil's not dead and there may be another financial attack come. Well, at this point, I've said this before, you know, my natural brain or the thought will come to me. Let me just say that the thought will come. You need to worry. I mean, you know, this bill's coming due, that bill's, and there's not enough in there to cover. You better start worrying, you know. But at this point, he has delivered us so 10,000 times. It's like my own mind now says, oh, shut up. Maybe it's my spirit. I don't know. All I know is it's almost like I need to go worry. He's delivered us 10,000 times. He's going to do it again. Just go to bed. He's going to do what he said. It's even my natural gray matter. When you've seen it for since 1996 now, it's 2025. You've seen it all these years, even my natural brain at this point, that neural pathway. No, I'm going to go ahead and get some sleep because he's going to be up all night just fixing my problem. God doesn't sleep. I'm going to get sleep. And he's still doing it, and he's going to continue doing it. He's not going to forsake us now for sure. We're getting to meeting 7. Good Lord, we're halfway through here. So this time go to Matthew 21. This is the last one we'll look at today. Matthew 21, verses 12 through 14. Now this is the 7th time, all in the book of Matthew. So you know I'm not giving a report of the same meeting twice. 7 times. Look at this one. You're there again. You've come. You're in the crowd. Jesus is teaching, but now it's time to do the healing, and you're watching. So Matthew 21, verses 12 through 14, and you're there. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The blind and the lame, they can't walk. Now, by the way, now, you are the temple of God. This is not really today's lesson, but you've heard me teach it before. Where's the temple now? You are the temple of God. Christ dwells in you, and if they're going to come to him in the temple, they're coming to you, my brothers and sisters. That's the lesson. You're going to see it. Now, remember, all of this happened before Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. The new birth is simply not yet available. Let's think about you living at that time. You're not born again. You've just been to all 7 meetings. You're an unregenerate person, not born again, with a 3.5-pound brain, you know, having a natural brain just like we all have. And you're watching with your physical eyes, blink, blink, as Jesus heals them all 7 meetings in a row. And not little meetings where somebody got healed of a headache. We read it. Devil-possessed people, lunatic people, people blind, people lame, people with all kinds, all divers manner of sicknesses, it said, and even people coming missing an appendage of some kind, missing an eye maybe, I don't know, missing something. The maimed, they're missing something by the time they left the meeting, and you're watching, it says they left hope. Give us some of that, Lord. We're coming into that. You're going to be right in the middle of it. Glory to God. Me too. I'm only 77. I got a long time to live here and do the work of God now. All right. Now, maybe after, okay, we will make it through this lesson. I'm looking at the time. Oh, my goodness. Now, maybe after the first time, your natural brain will go, okay, that was just a one-time thing. I saw it. It's amazing. I saw it with my own eyes. You know, neural pathways, they're being created because you saw it. But after you see the same thing happening in meeting number 2, meeting number 3, neural pathways, stronger, stronger. And you go to all 7 of those meetings, and some of those meetings had thousands of people attending. Yet every sick or maimed or devil-possessed person that came, all of them, you saw it with your own eyes. They were healed first time, every time, or delivered, healed, delivered. First time, every time, not a single exception. He healed them. He healed them all. Now, what's going on there? What's happening now? I'll believe it when I see it. You've seen it. 7 meetings in a row, sometimes involving thousands of people, you'd eventually, that neural pathway, by the time you'd finish all 7 of those, you know what's going to happen? See, what eventually, just like you become one with the car, it becomes one with you. When you clunk believe, when it really finishes, like 2 + 2 = 4, see, that's foundational in you too. I did say, yeah, 2 × 2 = 4. ABCs, I can do language because I know my ABCs. When something becomes in you like that, a neural pathway is created that is foundational. By the way, it works in reverse the same way as the strongholds, but that's not today's lesson. Those have to be torn down. But anyway, what foundation, what neural pathway, if you had to sum it up, after you've been to all 7 of these meetings, what would that neural pathway, what would it consist of? You'd eventually come to this conclusion, and I mean, it would be foundational. Jesus heals all who come to him. If you knew a sick anybody, what would you go tell them? If you go to that meeting, if you go to the Jesus meeting, if you go to where Jesus is, he will heal you. Oh, maybe he might have healed them, but yeah, I don't know if he'd heal me. I watched him 7 times in a row. Old people, young people, people with nice personalities, people with abrasive personalities. I saw it again. I saw it with my own eyes 7 times in a row. I'm telling you, it did not matter how bad it was or what their personality was. I watched. He healed them all, and he will heal you. You wonder why the gospel spread like it did, even it says his fame went before him, even before the cross. Listen, this is how it happened. Neural pathways created in a physical brain that's absolutely foundational. I've seen it with my own eyes. And I'm telling you, if you come to Jesus, he will heal you. See, even in an unsaved person's gray matter, his 3.5-pound brain, that neural pathway would be established like a rock. I mean, it would be foundational, wouldn't it? After you'd seen it thousands and thousands and you've been to all those meetings, nobody could talk you out of it. After all, now here we go, you saw it with your own eyes. This is how the 3.5-pound brain works on its own. I saw it with my own eyes. That I will believe it when I see it. Well, you saw it again and again. In this scenario, you saw it 7 times. Who could talk you out of it? Nobody could talk you out of it after you've been to all 7 of those. Now, this is why the fame of Jesus spread far and wide even before he was crucified. So that great multitudes came to those meetings, I'll bet. Listen, if you had a sick mother, a sick daughter, a friend, and you'd been to some of these meetings, what are you going to go tell them? You're going to this next meeting. I'm going to carry you there myself. Why? Because you're going to get healed. You're going to go to the meeting sick, but you're coming home healed. Yeah, but I'm missing a leg. You're going to get that leg back too. See, we wouldn't dare talk like that today. They did then because they saw it with their own eyes. All right. Let me start this paragraph again. We're going to be okay. I think we're going to make it. This is the fame of Jesus. This is why the fame of Jesus spread so far and wide, so that great multitudes came to him. No doubt many things were said about Jesus, but for sure, those who had seen the miraculous healings would have told their friends and relatives, if you bring anyone who is sick to Jesus, he will heal them. And I would add, first time, every time, no exceptions. Okay. Now, where will people go today in order to bring them to Jesus? We've tried bringing them to church. Sometimes that'll work, sometimes not. Why? Well, gifts of the Spirit through pretty carnal believers. Same way he could only deal with the Corinthians. He couldn't give them meat. He could only give them milk because they were so carnal. What's the cure? Come away with me, my beloved. Spend time in my word. Spend time in worship. Spend time praying in other tongues. Spend time in fasting. Grow up like Paul said in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. Said another way, when I grew up. God's calling us to grow up. Okay, we've been teaching on that forever, but we're coming into it now, I'm telling you. Now, where will people go today in order to bring them to Jesus? I'll tell you how it's going to happen. I'll tell you this greatest revival. Again, it's going to be Joel's army. Let me describe it to you just a little bit the way Joel does. When he was trying to describe this prophet, what he was seeing, of course it was a prophetic for that time, talking about these soldiers coming from Babylon who was going to conquer Israel. Well, it was horrible. Here comes all these soldiers, and boy, they brought devastation and devastated the country. But see, it's got a twofold meaning. It was prophetic for that time, but it's also talking about this end time revival. See, when Jesus would come on the scene, he would devastate the devil's fields. The blind saw everything that the devil did to kill, steal, and destroy. Blindness, sickness, lameness, deafness, all of those things. Here comes one man, just one soldier, can I say it that way? The king, but he's just him. Now, then he sent out the 12, then he sent out the 70, but they're all operating off the mantle of that one man. And just that small group there, they devastated his fields. It would be like a swarm. You ever seen a swarm of locusts in one of these documentaries? Man, the air is just thick with them, and you're trying to swat them, but it's like there's a gazillion of them, you know. You can't stop them. They'll come, and they'll devastate the field. When they move on, there's nothing left. When Jesus would come to town, and those people would come to the meeting, all of the things that the enemy done, he's going, he devastated our fields. Just this one man. And then he sent in 12. Then he sent out 70. And they're devastating our fields, all of the destruction and the sickness and the pain and the suffering. We've had these people. He devastated our fields. Well, that was with one man, Jesus, born again, anointed by the Holy Ghost. What if there was a million of us? What if there was several million of us, all born again, all filled with the Holy Ghost, all anointed with the same power? All of us believing what he said, that the works that he did, we would do also. And whatever we ask in his name, he says, I will do it. But where is he? Where is he physically? We know where he is. Physically, in his glorified body, the Bible tells us real straight, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But spiritually, where is he now? He's in the temple. Oh, Jerusalem? No. Tulsa. Florida. Brazil. Wherever you are. You are the temple of God. Did you notice in that last one, they came to him in the temple? That's how they're going to come to Jesus now, because you're the temple of God. And at Joel's army, it's not going to be just a one-man show anymore. And I thank God for all the pioneers we've had, the Smith Wigglesworth, the John G. Lake, and the women, the Maria Woodworth Eder, Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman, right here in our town of Tulsa. And just over and over again. I thank God for that. But during those, the multitude would watch as one person ministered. This time, the multitudes are going to minister. We're going to become that Joel's army that to the enemy looks like, oh my God. We remember how one devastated our fields, and here comes a million of them. He's in each and every one with the same anointing. We're going to devastate his fields, and it's going to lead to the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. What a time to be alive. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. Don't you dare let the devil get you all hopeless and downcast. I don't care what happened this week. I don't care what your symptoms are this morning. I don't care what your bank account looks like. I don't care that maybe you've just had a real failure in your faith. Do not give up. Do the message. Do the blueprint. Spend time with him. Come away with me, my beloved. Get back into prayer. Get back in the word. Get back in worship. Push away from the table. We had Christmas. We're done with Christmas now. Thank God for feasting, and I thank God for Christmas now. Time to push away from the table some. Do some fasting. Glory to God. Okay. I'm having a good time myself. I love doing this. Because I preach myself happy. I want to say it again now. Where will people go today? See, then we knew, well, you bring them to Jesus. You bring them to the next meeting. But where are you going to bring him today? I don't know of anywhere where they're having real Jesus meetings. What I mean is, I thank God for every healing, every supernatural thing that's done. I thank God for that. But you know and I know it's mostly being done by the gifts of the Spirit. It's not normal and regular. Like there, where you knew for sure, that guy, if it was you and you had been to all seven of those meetings, you knew that if you brought your sick cousin to the next meeting, they're going to get healed. First time, every time. Because that's the maturity of Christ. You know, he's not limited. I mean, it's not the gifts of the Spirit. God uses the babies. That letter to the Corinthians, where he plainly says, you come behind in no gift. God was using them, but he said, you're such babies, I can't even give you meat. I can't give you ground beef or nothing. you got to grow up, you know. You got to grow up. Well, he's been growing us up for a long time, and he's really growing us up now. Okay. See, what would the message be if you'd have been alive then? If you come to Jesus, he's going to heal you. That'd be a neural pathway so firm, nobody could talk you out of it, because you've already been to seven of those meetings. You've seen it over and over, and I mean thousands of people getting healed. That's a neural pathway nobody could talk you out. Like Dave would say, they couldn't beat it out of you with rifle butts, you know. No, he heals them all. But we're afraid to say that today because we have not seen with our eyes. Now, remember what Jesus said, even to the 12. He said it to Thomas, but they were all the same way. You have believed because you have seen. More blessed. More blessed. In the Greek, that's what it says now. More blessed are those who have not seen, yet believed. He's talking to us now. Okay, let's pick this up. See, but in the natural, we've been afraid to say that same thing to the sick in our generation. But Jesus does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, he healed them all then. He heals them all now. They believed because they saw. We are called to believe having not seen. See? What are we to believe? Everything that Jesus said. Now, for example, let's just look at three verses here. John 14, verses 12 through 14. When it says, verily, verily, you could substitute truly, truly. This is the truth. You know, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the truth. I say unto you, I'm going to tell you truth. He that believeth on me, that's us. The works that I do, shall he do also. He's talking about you and me. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In other words, the work can be multiplied. Everything that was done through 1, through 12, through 70, what if there's 100,000? What if there's 500,000? What if there's 1,000,000 of us? What if he can greater? Okay. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now look at verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I'll just tell you the truth. I've heard those messages like you probably have about, well, your problem is you're just not bold enough. You just need to believe that to step on out. And I've done that. I remember more than once I've almost drugged people out of wheelchairs. Rise up and walk. That's what Peter said. In the name, you know, bless their heart. And I thank God there has been some supernatural healings, but it's all been by the gifts of the Spirit. It's not been a resident anointing like what we're pressing toward. And I've tried that boldness. Well, you just need to, what did he say there? If you say, I'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Believe that. Step out in boldness. And I've done it. And I've fall flat on my face. And I could give you a whole list of other people who fell flat on their face. See, the problem there is not really boldness. The problem is lack of maturity. If you want to know the truth of it, that's the problem. The image has not come to harvest yet. Okay, no time to get into that today. But we've got to come to the place where we believe what Jesus said, even though we've never really seen it with our eyes. You know, Paul talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He's not really talking about your physical eyes there. He's talking about the eyes of your mind, their spiritual mind. You can see things in the spirit that you can't see with the natural. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get there in a week or two. See, our spirit, if you want to know the truth of it, your spiritual mind, the part of you that's born again, already believes this. It really does. It's not of this world. You do know your spirit's not of this world, right? Your spirit, we read this last week too, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have not received the spirit of the world now. We received a spirit when you got born again. You're recreated with a spirit that's from God. And why? So that you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. Plainly says the natural man, that 3.5-pound brain, it cannot know these things. It cannot. It can't know them. But we're not limited to that anymore. When you're born again, you've got a spiritual mind that has the capacity to understand all of these things and has the capacity to mature into love. God is love, and that's really where we've got to mature to. Your natural brain is going to learn to bow the knee. See, a renewed mind is not just renewed in knowledge. A renewed mind bows to that knowledge. Whether it'll never understand it. My wife, well, I love my wife. Most of you know, we just had our 49th wedding anniversary. That woman is a saint of God to put up with me for 49 years, I'm telling you. But my darling Sue, trust me, does not understand the workings of the internal combustion engine. You can talk to her. She doesn't know about intake manifolds. She doesn't know about rotors, and she doesn't know about pistons and valves and all of the things. This is all she needs to know. I put the key in here. Well, it's got to be in park. Put my foot on the brake. Now, I want to say put the key in because that's one of our cars you have to. The other one, you press the button, and it starts. That's all she needs to know. That's the way the natural brain is. Your natural brain does not need to know how the Holy Spirit changes the molecular structure and creates bone and arm and flesh and everything where there was none. The natural brain will never, it'll still go, that's impossible, but I saw it. I don't know how that works. I'll never know how that works, but I saw it. So we don't need to know all of that. We've just got to be renewed to the point, if the word says it, then I'll bow to it. I may never understand it. But I'm the servant here. I'm not the boss. I used to be the boss before I got saved. There's a new boss now. There's a new man on the inside of Gary. I'm just the brain now. I'm the servant. I'm not the Lord. There's a new Lord inside Gary. And I'm the go-between between the spirit and the earth. I'm like a good secretary, you know, but I'm not the boss anymore. Can you imagine what the 3.5-pound brain thought that when Jesus received the command to go walk on the water? Okay, in the spiritual mind, what? You want me to walk on the water? Okay, I'm just going to go walk on the water. And the brain's going, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Human beings can't walk on water. What's wrong with you? But the 3.5-pound brain, the mind, the natural brain inside Jesus had already learned, bow the knee. Whatever God says to the inside man, my job is to bow the knee to it. It'll never understand how a human can walk on water. You know, the density and the mass and everything. We don't want to get into all that. It'll say, no, that's impossible. No, not if you believe it. And that 3.5-pound, because you still see, there's a motor command that goes to the foot, step out on the water. Well, that command goes through the natural brain. Doesn't it? Right down the nervous system. All right. The brain goes, I don't understand it, but we're going to do it. We're stepping out. Whew. Man, this is getting gooder and gooder, as Lily used to say, and my granddaughter. All right. See, your spiritual mind already believes this. It's doubt in the natural mind that's holding back the power of God. Remember when Peter, hang on a minute, where am I? Yeah. When Peter walked on the water, when did he begin to sink? When he got his eyes off Jesus. See, Peter, his gray matter did not think a human being could walk on the water, even though he's seeing one walking on the water. I mean, he can't deny what he's seeing, but he's still going, well, it's impossible, but I see it happening. You know what Peter had faith in? What Peter believed in? Peter believed in the word of Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Remember, he was the one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Basically, you're the Messiah. He knew, and he'd seen it already. Anything Jesus says is possible. So that's why Jesus, excuse me, that's why Peter worded it that way. Lord, if it's you, you tell me to come. If you say come, I know I can do it, because whatever you say, that's possible. That'll come to pass. He didn't say, Jesus, make me able to walk on the water. He didn't have faith for that. No, but if you tell me to come, whatever you say, that's possible. You tell me to come, I can come. And he did. Now notice, this is a little side benefit here. Peter was walking on the water because of his faith in the word of Christ. And how do we know that? Well, did Christ's faith ever waver? Not at all. But Peter began to sink. Now you got to understand, in order for Peter to walk on the water, the Holy Spirit is involved in this somehow. I don't know how, but the Holy Spirit is involved in this miracle. But you got to understand, the Holy Spirit, it's doing it based on the faith of Peter, his faith in the word of Jesus. Because when Peter got his eyes off that, and he got it over, when his natural brain started seeing the waves and the wind boisterous, got it off the command, the Holy Spirit couldn't do it anymore. He's working with the faith of Peter, not the faith of Jesus. Man, isn't that something? See, doubt in the natural mind is what hindered the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that was causing Peter to be able to walk on the water. Peter never had faith that a human could walk on the water. Peter had faith that whatever Jesus said would come to pass. And that's why he worded it that way. We've already done that. Now, it's still that way after Peter was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me prove it to you. Go to Acts 3:16. We know the whole story here and we're running out of time, so let's just cut to the chase. You know what happened? Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and there was the lame man born that way from his mother's womb that it was seated there, and he was begging for alms, and he looked on Peter and John, and he was asking really for money. And Peter basically says, well, I don't have any money with me, but I do have something. Such as I have, give I thee. Rise up, stand up on thy feet, and walk. And immediately, it says, his feet and ankle bones were strengthened. He was leaping and jumping and praising God. And everybody in town's watching this. And, you know, they're wanting to put accolades on Peter. And Peter says, no. It's not us. Look at this. Now, Acts 3:16. Where's the faith of Peter? Did Peter think he could heal the sick? His name, talking about Jesus, and his name through faith in his name. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You have empowered us. You told us whatever we would do. Remember, we just read it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. It is his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith is which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let's look at one more for today. Now, think about it, though. Jesus wasn't there physically. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in his glorified body when that happens. Jesus was in heaven. So how did the man born lame come to Jesus for healing? How did this happen? He had to come to Christ in Peter. Christ in Peter. Well, and John. John was there too. Now, let's look at another one. Oh, it's actually the same one. All right. You can read it for yourself. Acts 3:6-8. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Okay. I kind of got in my head ahead of myself. Now, where was Christ in all this? Physically, in his glorified body, he's still in heaven. But he was in Peter and John. Remember, you are the temple of God now. If they're going to come to Christ in the temple, they're going to come to you. Okay. Christ. Colossians 1:27, just look it up later. Christ in you is the mystery of the gospel. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's the image we're to look at. I'll give you one more example. I'm sorry, we're going to run over a couple of minutes. I'm going to keep it short here. But boy, I want this included. Let's look at one more. About two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Go to Acts chapter 9, verses 12 through 35. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda, that's a city. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. Please notice that. 8 years this man had been bedfast. He's paralyzed somehow. Can't walk. And he was sick. Well, it tells you the palsy. had got him to the point. This man, can you imagine? Can you imagine 8 years in a bed, what his atrophied legs would look like? You know, man's been in the bed. Doesn't faze Peter. Look at verse 34. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, now notice how he says this, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Rise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And notice, does that produce revival? And all that dwelt in Lydda, that town, and Saron, a close by town, they all, when they saw him with their physical brain, they turned to the Lord. Miracles produce revivals. You got two whole towns. This is a citywide revival, or at least village-wide. I don't know how big they were, but town-wide. Jesus Christ was in heaven. Now, notice how Peter said that. He said, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Jesus is in heaven. Peter knows that. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So how is it that Ananias was in the presence of Christ for Christ to heal him? Because Christ was in Peter. See, Peter was the temple of God now, not the building, not a building somewhere. You are the temple of God. You have the Holy of Holies right on the inside of you. And where you go, Christ goes. Okay, previews of coming attractions. Gary, that's great. That guy got to go to all seven meetings. He got to see with his own eyes. What are we going to do? How are we going to do that? I'm getting permission. Remember what Jesus said. Thomas, you're blessed because you have seen. More blessed are those who believe, having not seen. Did you know that the way the gray matter works, and we'll be getting into this in future lessons. Did you know this? The way your gray matter works, it makes no distinction between an actual, a real, and a vividly imagined event. It's true. See, believing has... We're believing for a revival that the world has never seen. Who else has done something like that? Believe something that's never been seen? Abraham. Abraham and Sarah. Listen. In the history of the world, you could go to every university that existed at that time. In the history of the world, no 99-year-old man who was impotent with a 90-year-old woman who was past her menstrual cycles, who was not producing eggs anymore. In the history of the world, it had never been seen that an impotent 99-year-old man and a non-fertile 90-year-old wife, not even producing eggs, that they could have a baby. In the history of the world, they had nothing. They had no history to look at, no track record. They couldn't go to any meetings anywhere. But you know what it says? Is Abraham believed God? Now it was a process because they laughed at first. I hope you've been listening to these lessons. They laughed at first. Shall a man who's 100 going to have a baby? You know, yeah. They laughed, but remember, God strengthened that covenant on their side by circumcision, where every day they had to remember, I have a covenant with God. And he changed their names so that they had to say about themselves what God had said. They had the vision on the inside of the stars. Our seed will number like that, like the dust of the earth. And now they're saying, I say it this way, they're speaking the end result. Every time they say their name, I am the father of a multitude. We'll get into it more in a week or two, but listen, it turned back the clock in both of their bodies. Preview. Did you know this 90-year-old woman, within 3 months, have you ever heard of a king wanting a 90-year-old woman in his harem? Within 3 months, it had such an effect on Sarah's body, King Abimelech wanted her in his harem. More next time. I'm 5 minutes over it. I'm not sorry. It's good stuff. I love my job. All right. Love you much. See you again next time. Bye bye for now.